Soul has escaped like a bird out of the snare of the Father.
My soul has escaped like a bird. Our help is in the
sing one more just before the apostle comes. We'll stand on our feet and we'll sing Come and Dine. Jesus has a table spread with the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people. Come and dine.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen to come from and dine. With his manna he will feed and supplies our every need. All his sweetness, all his sweetness, all the time. Come and dine.
Each one this evening, come and dine. That's what we want, to dine with the Master. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one. Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Just want to read one verse. And I have a lot of different other scriptures tonight, but I want to continue with the book of Acts. I know I'm using other scriptures, but the thoughts originate from the book of Acts. Verse 5 of Acts, chapter 1. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord. Praise God. The Lord bless each one this evening. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you and praise you that we could come aside for a time and worship you and magnify your name and hear your word, Lord. Your word is Music, Lord, tell us, it's ointment, tell us. We thank you for the worship tonight. Pray you bless all the musicians, the song leader. Bless your people and strengthen them. Cover us afresh with your blood. Forgive us every wrong word, every wrong thought, every wrong deed. Sanctify us, fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I do take the Holy Spirit by faith right now. And I pray that every spirit in this room will be subject to the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ's name. I ask you to bless your word tonight, strengthen your people, touch those that need your touch. Bless my sister, bless others as well, Lord, that's maybe not here that had to work. All the nurses, the doctors, bless them, be with them. Bless your own people, Israel, and we do pray again for those in authority, Lord Jesus. Bless them, give them wisdom in Jesus' precious name. Father, have your way. We ask for Brother Andrew Beecham tonight as well. Bless our brothers, he prepares to come. Give him strength and grace. Be with him at this time, Lord. Cover him with your precious blood and prepare our hearts, Lord, and just have your way amongst us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless each one. You may be seated. Praise God. Keep Brother Andrew in prayer. It's just not this weekend. Samuel's going to be preaching on Sunday night, self in the morning, Samuel in the evening. Then it's next weekend, Brother Andrew is coming. Pray for Brother Andrew. The Lord will strengthen him and bless and praise God. I just want to mention some more things from the book of Acts, the promise of the Father. We have just read in verse 5, this is what's known as a promise of the Father. And this Holy Spirit, this promise of the Holy Spirit coming is all through the Bible. In Luke 24:49, it says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. John 15:26 says, but when the comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. It's not amazing that when you receive the real Holy Spirit, you will agree with the truth and you'll acknowledge the truth. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Now there's the spirit of error and there's the spirit of strong delusion. That's from the enemy. But the Holy Spirit's the spirit of truth. It leads you into truth. And thank God for the truth. Ye shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the Holy Spirit is a promise. A lot of people say, I'd love to get the Holy Spirit. I want to get the Holy Spirit. God has promised you the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of I'd love to get it or I need to get it. God has promised it. Just like God has promised salvation to whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved, he's also promised the Holy Spirit. He's promised it. It is known as the promise of the Father. Now when you look at the Acts, everybody knows Acts 2:38, water baptism, but Acts 2:39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the promise of the Father is to the disciples then, to their children, to far off, to every one of us, is the promise of the Father. On the basis of an everlasting covenant, which God made in eternity, this promise of the Father was made in eternity in a covenant. Ever before the world was made, when the work of redemption was completed by the Lord Jesus Christ, you know it was done in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. That he would, and also that he would give the Holy Spirit. God already ordained it from the beginning to be done, to happen, to pour it out. And everyone that would accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ has promised the Holy Spirit. So any person that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and they're a believer and they're saved, the promise of the Holy Spirit's not for the chosen few or for the minority or for certain groups. That's nonsense. The promise of the Holy Spirit is to every single person that accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, the promise is to them. Well, now you can't put the Holy Ghost in the box. It's only for this or that. It's for the believer who'll believe, who'll accept, that he would give the Holy Spirit poured out on all who would accept Christ as a sacrifice and who would come to the Father through him. And you know there's only one way to come to Jesus Christ, come to the Father, that is through Christ. Do you realize you cannot come to God any other way other than through the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. So therefore, if a church does not preach the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no avenue. You have no door to get you to heaven. Because Jesus Christ is the door to heaven. And anybody that does not preach Jesus Christ, they are not preaching, there'll be no salvation. You cannot get to God without him. He is God's provided way, God's provided law. Salvation must be of the Lord, it said on Sunday. Christ was of the Lord. He was sent by God, the only begotten Son. And must be by the death of an innocent one. He was innocent, he was spotless. And it must be by blood. Now I told you on Sunday, I maybe didn't go into detail, but every other blood was corrupted. Because of original sin, the bloodstream was corrupted. And we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity, but his bloodstream wasn't corrupted. Amen. And I tell you, the life of that blood come back in the church on the day of Pentecost, and that's the Holy Ghost. You see, when we're born of the Spirit, it's born of the Spirit, and it's filled with the Spirit. Amen. There's a baptism in water and there's a baptism in the Spirit. You could say two baptisms. But I tell you what, it's the baptism of the Spirit we want, isn't it? We want baptized in water as well. And we have saw through the book of Acts and other times where people received the Holy Spirit before they ever were baptized in water. And then there was other people who received it when they were baptized in water. You say, what's the order? Well, we'll just take Jesus. When John brought him out of the water, the Spirit came on him. What about that? Somebody says, is there an order? Well, there it is. That's God's order. Amen. Acts 2:38, repent ye therefore and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Ghost came on Jesus without measure. After John baptized him, the Spirit came on him. Mightily upon him and remained on him. Amen. I want you to think that for a minute this evening. Think that for a minute. Then you think of the ministry of William Branham. William Branham said it can do nothing until he comes. Then the Spirit would come. The angel of the Lord would come to him, but also the Holy Spirit. And he was gifted, but it was because of the Spirit. Then it would go from him again. It didn't stay with him all the time. But Jesus Christ, the Bible says, it remained on him. It remained. So there was no such thing as a gift in him not having it. The next day or an evening, he was absolutely the Word made flesh. He's unique. There's nobody else like the Lord. Amen. Filled with the Spirit. Preserved by the Spirit until the day of redemption. That's what it actually means. You know that. On to the day of redemption. We're waiting. We've been redeemed. But we're waiting on the redemption of this body to wit. We need a body change. We will not be going to heaven in the body we're in, we're going to be changed. The Bible's clear in that. It says this corruptible will put on incorruption, this mortal will put on immortality. Hebrews 13:20 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." God's covenant, everlasting. I was coming along the road last night, I think it was, and I never seen a rainbow. It was right, it's close. It was a wonderful rainbow. I was going to take a photo of it, but I didn't do it. But I thought it was right beside it. It was that close. I'd never seen one as close to me. Then when I got down the road, about it seemed far away again. But I tell you, I know that we've all the smart scientists, and they can tell us whatever happens in the atmosphere creates a rainbow. Well, that's all pure rubbish. I tell you that now. I don't believe none of that. And I don't care if they can explain molecules and all these different bits and pieces, and they can put it all together lovely. What happened before there was no rainbow? How come there was none before? Then God made, because it rained. Because God said. God said, from here on, I'm going to send the rainbow, and I will promise you I will never flood the world again. Now he might flood an area. An area might be flooded. But he said he'd never flood the world again. And I'll send you the rainbow as my covenant. Now you think of it. God sent the rainbow as a covenant. And God is a covenant where the Holy Spirit's to be sent. And the Holy Spirit's been sent. And I'm going to just be real clear and honest tonight. Christians that don't have received the baptism and don't have the Holy Spirit are living well below what they should have. That's like you've been left something in your bank account and you never use it. Well, if it stays there long enough and you don't use it, what good is it? You need to use it. Amen. And I tell you, he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us, to bring us into truth. So many things. Jesus spoke of the promise of the Father. That's what's also called the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, if I promised you to do something, as a man, I could let you down. You know that. But the Bible says God's not a man that he should lie. Excuse me. And he says, by two immutable things, which he swore by himself. You remember I preached one time, it's a long time back, but I remembered God swore by his right hand. There's so many times the Bible talks about God swore. God cannot break a promise. And God made promises to the saints. In and through Jesus Christ, the promises are brought to pass, the fulfillment for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a promise of the Father. The baptism of the Holy Spirit in verse 5, the promise of the Father, it is absolutely a scriptural expression, the promise of the Father. Do you realize how many people preach doctrines and they have sayings and expressions and they're not even scriptural? And yet when we take scriptural ones, people wonder about it. We should use the scriptural ones. The promise of the Father is a scriptural statement. There's other statements what people use, and you'll not find them in the Bible nowhere. But they preach them hard. Now, they might mean someone else. I'm not saying you can't use a word. You can. But this is in the Bible. John the Baptist, Matthew 3, verse 11. "And he baptized you with water under repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Amen. It's not just the promise of the Holy Spirit, but the fire. The Lord Jesus himself in Acts 1:5. "For John truly baptized water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." Look at Peter and the apostles in Acts 11, verse 16. "Then remembered I the word of the Lord." How that he said, "John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." So what I'm trying to bring over is, if you're going to say we believe the book of Acts, and you're going to say we're apostolic, then you're going to have to preach the promise of the Father. Because they preached it. Is that right? Isn't that the Bible? They preached the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, as a promise to God's people. That's what they preached. Just like they preached Christ crucified and resurrected, they also preached the promise of the Father. Amen. The full counsel of God was what they preached. You see, verse 5 links to the two baptisms in one. In Acts 2, verse 38, I've already mentioned it in 39, the book of Acts, we see water baptism and the Holy Spirit baptism. Now look at Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 5. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and bond in the bond of peace. So there's keeping the unity of the Spirit. I tell you, the Holy Spirit's easy grieved. And I tell you, when the Holy Spirit's grieved, the Holy Spirit might not just move again, just like clicking your fingers type of thing. It might take time. Because one of us, I could say something to grieve the Holy Spirit. You could say something to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible warns us about that. That we're to watch what we say, how we act. Somebody could say something to you. Have you ever had it happen where somebody does something tell you, you've heard me maybe said before, and the Holy Spirit in you is grieved? Now, I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about, but it's happened to me where a man's cursed me out and he grieved the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, that's a dangerous job. If you're cursing out a child of God that's anointed of God, that's chosen of God, that's the Lord's anointing. And we're not to touch the Lord's anointing. Amen. And you might agree with somebody, but that's not the thing. But the grave of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, people sometimes say things, and you think, isn't it so great that God's so merciful? Think of the people that take the Lord's name in vain. And I'm glad he saved sinners, you not. Amen. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Verse 4, there's one body, one Spirit. Now I know people preach two Holy Ghosts. They preach two Holy Spirits. But the Bible only has one. So we're only going to work with the one. Or when I say we're, it's hopefully the Holy Spirit will work with us, I should say. That's maybe the right way to say it. Amen. We need him to work with us. Amen. Now we can have our own spirit. I believe we have a spirit and we have a soul. But there's one Holy Spirit. One Holy Spirit. Even as you're called and one hope of your calling. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. Amen. Hebrews 6, 1 to 2 says this, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms. So he's talking about more than one. And of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. Because there's water baptism and the Holy Spirit baptism. Look at the Lord Jesus, how he was baptized in the water, and at the same time the Spirit came on him without measure. I mentioned it already. Matthew 3, verse 16, 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, to hear him. God is bearing record to Jesus that we're to hear him. Amen. He's vindicating them. And he's vindicating them, for the Holy Spirit's coming on them, not in measure and fullness, and saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Do you realise there's not an more living person could please God like Jesus pleased the Father? God was appeased. Can you get that tonight? Get that. God was appeased, satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. It never had to be done again. The Old Testament sacrifices never fully appeased God or fully satisfied God because they kept continually having to do them. But Christ was once and for all. Amen. Now the power of the Spirit in verse 8 of Acts, it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And I want to talk for a moment about this power, and I won't keep as long tonight. And I hope it's not too accurate. I'm trying not to keep as quiet as I can, but it's difficult. Difficult job for me. Pray the Lord will help us. We need a couple of more banners in here to take the echo out, I think, but praise God. I'm wanting one with that tabernacle on it. Massive. But the size of half of that back wall would do me. You know, and fire coming up out of her. And the gate and everything, just like that tabernacle. Amen. I know it's Moses made it, and we're going to see something even greater in heaven, aren't we? But it's still beautiful, isn't it? You see, there's two Greek words here for this power. One is ousousia, meaning privilege and authority. John 1 verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them give he power." That's what it means. He gave them power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe in his name. So sometimes Christian says, "I have no power. I feel powerless." Well, the devil must have told you that, because God's word didn't. Sister, brother, you have already power now. I want to tell you that right now. On the authority of this book, you've got power. Because the Bible says, "As many as received Jesus Christ, to them give he power." Why? As soon as you received him, you had power. The things you couldn't stop doing, he gave you the power to overcome it. Amen? He gave you the power. Now, if he can give you power in your normal life, he can give you power in other things. Matthew 10, verse 1. "When he had called unto him his 12 disciples," and this is even before Pentecost, "he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Isn't that amazing? I believe that's truly amazing, what the Lord did here. Now, there's another word as well here, from the Greek word dunamis. So one's authority, it's power, but it's authority. And dunamis means power, ability. So he gives us authority and he gives us ability. Ability. Now I want to emphasize that tonight before I close. Some people might think, "I have no ability of my own." Well, you're right, you haven't. Neither have I. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's got the ability. Amen. The Holy Spirit can make you do things you could not do your own self. That's what I'm trying to say. Like talking in tongues. Now, you couldn't talk in tongues and interpret it and bring it out absolutely fluent in another language and all them things. Me and you couldn't do that of our own ability. But the Holy Spirit could come on somebody that's not even gifted. There's people gifted with languages, you can learn them easily. But what about a man that's not? Like Wigglesworth couldn't hardly talk English. He couldn't even spell heal. He said heal. He didn't even spell H. Yet when the Holy Ghost came on him, God made him do things that his wife says, "That's not my Smith Wigglesworth." There's such a change in that man. Dunamis. Luke 4:14. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And they went out of fame of him through all the region round about." I believe we need the power of God. Honestly, brothers, I know I'm preaching this, but we need it. I need it. Brother, have you never received the Holy Spirit? I have. God's Holy Spirit came to me many times, but I want it again and more. I need the power of God. You need the power of God. Dynamite. Amen. Dynamite. Acts 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power. Dynamite. Explosive. Dunamis power. I tell you, when you get the explosion and drill a hole in the rock, and you know, not even a big digger, some of them rocks, the diggers can't really even hardly break them. I'm on a job at the minute, and there's different sizes of diggers on it, and you need the Kangaroo one. Not at moderates, it's 25 tons. Some of the rocks you'll run over, you'll smash her. She's only fiddling about, pulling and working and racking herself. It takes something a bit more than the ordinary bucket to do it. The Kangaroo hammer goes on her. But I'll tell you what. Drill you a bit of a hole down into that rock, like they do in some of the quarries, and set yourself an explosion in there. But get well back. You have to be back in the safety zone, because when that thing blows, you're going to know about it. And that's the dynamite power I believe the disciples had and that Jesus had. We need an explosion of power. Amen. Just like I said when we were having heavy rain, we need that spiritually. And we need a spiritual explosion of power. Now I want you to think of that for a minute. Think if you're in the natural, then you think when Jesus come back, it says he came back in the power into the town. And they knew about it. His fame went abroad. Amen? And you think even Peter in the Bible, and Peter's shadow went over the people that were healed. When William Branham went to Durban, South Africa, truckloads. I hear boys on ridiculing William Branham on YouTube and all the, I don't even listen to them, but I'm just, there's people on there. There was truckloads, lorry loads of wheelchairs and crutches loaded of people that was healed. That's an explosion of the power of the Holy Spirit. When Lake also went out and that disease was killing people, that were dropping like flies dead. The germs couldn't live in his body because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And they brought 100 wheelchair cases. And he prayed, and the power of God through him. 99 of them rose that night, and the one that didn't come out of the wheelchair the following day. These are facts. They talk as well about the first man that thought he was Elijah, and they mock him. Alexander Dowie. And you'll hear people on mocking Alexander Dowie. Well, he made it one extreme. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mock him. Because ever before he went extreme, he had something they never knew about. He had the power of God. Not only had Alexander Dowie the power of God, Illinois, you look it up, these things I'm telling you. He had schools where he trained young people to go and pray for people like the book of Acts, and they were healed. And I'll tell you, many of the men that come out of that, they come out from under Alexander Dowie. Lake's one of them. Lake is only one of the men that come out from under Alexander Dowie. God used that man. I tell you, the power of God. The authority is ours through Christ. The ability is his by the Spirit. I tell you, we need the Holy Spirit. Each chapter in Acts is a demonstration of the ability of the Holy Spirit. It's not the ability of Paul. If you think it's the ability of Lake or the ability of William Branham or the ability of Wigglesworth or Paul or any of these men of God, you're wrong. It is the ability of the Holy Spirit. Now, them men were chosen, I believe that, specially chosen. Prophets are called ever before they're born, ordained before the mother's womb. That's the Bible. But it's the ability of the Holy Spirit. And I believe if anybody will humble themselves enough, the Holy Spirit can come on you. You might not be called to do what some of them men did, but God can still use you in your own area, in your own home. at work, anywhere. It's not man's ability. Ability or the lack of it does not count with God. Did you hear what I said? The ability or the lack of it doesn't count with God. And I'm going to have to close, but I want to read you this quotation from the seven church ages in a moment. How smart of a man was Wigglesworth when he stuttered and he couldn't talk right? Come on, as far as smartness goes. Now, he was definitely no brainwave. William Branham had a seventh grade education, that's primary school. That's like leaving after primary school. 7 years, that's you finished. Never got to high school, but God used them men. God sent them men with a message. William Branham in 1946 had an angel appeared to him and sent him with a gift of healing to the nations. A ministry similar to Moses in the Bible. This is what we're talking about. Wigglesworth had faith that no wasn't an option. Lifted a man out of a coffin 6 times and he kept falling back down dead. And even the people with him said, I think that's enough. And he told them, you don't know, shut your mouth up. That's how he talked to them. You don't know what God's told me. They said he was abrupt.
Yes.
I'll tell you what would the critics do today if they're in a Wigglesworth meeting when he took a baby that was dead and he kicked it like a football into the audience? What would they do about that? They'd say Jesus never done that. And you couldn't find a scripture where you could say Jesus done something like that. But Wigglesworth knew what the Lord told him, and that baby lived.
Amen.
What about the man was dying with cancer, almost dead, and he had his own private doctor with him in the prayer line, and Wigglesworth took the hold of his fist and he just gave him the biggest punch in the guts. And the boy dropped down, and the doctor said, he's dead, you've killed him. You've actually killed him, Wigglesworth. Wigglesworth, you killed him. And Wigglesworth never turned. He didn't turn back to see. He kept walking up the prayer line praying. And all he shouted was, he's healed. He never used H. Because he couldn't spell it. He's healed. And that man was healed of cancer. Now, I'll tell you what. Where would you get, you know, where would you put that? That's God. That's a strange happening, but that's God. What about Oral Roberts? Oral Roberts wouldn't leave his hotel room until he had a feeling in his hand. And if he didn't get the feeling in the hand that he knew he needed, he wouldn't even go to the meeting. On many a night, the boy that lifted him waited for hours, not 5 minutes, for a long time, till he got that feeling in his hand. See, when he got it, God done things. Now, God might not do that with any of us. God might not want you to have that feeling in your hand. That was for that man. William Branham also had a gift in his hand. He could tell if the person had a demon, the bumps would come in his hand. God works in mysterious ways, it's wonders to perform. I tell you, what about T.L. Osborne? T.L. Osborne had no feeling in the hand. None of them things. He just preached the word and he tied the devil in a knot with the word of God. Then he prayed a mass prayer and they got out of the wheelchairs and the blinded eyes opened. So you see, you can't just fix it to one certain way. God can do it any way he wants. But we need to believe he'll do it. Listen to this. There are radio programs, television programs, numerous church endeavors that are costing millions and millions of dollars. Wealth pours and pours into the church. The membership increases along with the money, yet the work is not being done as it was done when there was no money. But men rested solely on the ability given them by the Holy Ghost. Amen? It's the Holy Ghost. Now I know a man, and you know him as well, and the Lord bless him. We need money as well. But They've got 2 million now. It's not 1 million no more. It's 2 million. 2 million pound. And they've a place more or less got, but they don't want to announce it till they're sure, in case a bidding war starts. I don't know what price it's going to cost. 2 million pound. And there's not thousands of them. There's hundreds of them, not thousands of them. God can do anything. Amen. We think God couldn't get us the money for our own place. That's pure nonsense. That's unbelief to talk like that. God could get us a place tomorrow. But we need to believe it. Amen. God can do it. But I tell you, the most important thing is the Holy Spirit. We need more of the Holy Ghost in our lives and in our meetings. But there's one thing we can do. We can welcome the Holy Spirit. We can ask for Him to come. Amen. And believe for it. Let's come and let's pray tonight. And pray for the families. So many families, you don't have to call people by name or anything if you don't want to. But just pray for all the different children, the different families. Remember Andrew Beecham in prayer. That God will really touch him. And believe for the Holy Ghost to come, to move. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you tonight for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, we thank you for the promise of the Father. Lord, we need more of that same Spirit, that anointing of God. Your power, dunamis, power. Your authority, your ability coming upon your people. Lord, that we'll be out of ourselves and moving in the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, fill us afresh, I pray. May the Holy Ghost breathe afresh on every one of us. Fill us. Baptize us afresh. Send the fire of God amongst us, upon us, in us, through us, all over us. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful men and women of God that you've used over the years, the centuries. So many different giftings. And Lord, and you said that every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadowing of turning. Even Elijah said he was subject to like passions as we are. Yet when he prayed, Lord, you answered. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will visit us in these meetings, in our homes. Move on our children. Move on our loved ones. On the husband, on the wife, on the aunt, the uncle, the in-laws. Lord, in relations. Oh God, you know every single one represented in this house. I'm asking you for household salvation. For the mighty move of God coming upon your people. That souls will be saved, swept into the kingdom. Lord, we need you to come amongst us in explosive demonstration of power. Lord, we know when we read your word, and your word's the truth, how the disciples went about healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the leper. And Lord, you said, rejoice, not even that the demons are subject, but your name's written in the Lamb's book of life. Lord, we want to see people saved for the grace of God. Open their understanding and eyes, we pray. Bless your word, dear people. Lord, bless the meetings for Samuel, for Andrew Beecham. Have your way amongst us. Bless these different brothers, every brother that ministers in this fellowship. Bless them, strengthen them, the deacons, the elders, every sister, every brother. Lord, all the young people, bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. All the musicians, bless and strengthen them. Have your way, I pray. Let this place be a lighthouse in this area. And Lord, we pray that you'll give us our own place. Lord, we know that nothing's too difficult for you. We commit our lives to you afresh. We acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing that you will direct our paths. Father, I pray for the lethargicness that's on some Christians. Lord, that they're set and there's no move for them. I pray that the Holy Ghost will put a fire underneath them, that you'll stir them and move them to come to your house in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for the backslider tonight, speak to them. Speak a word into their innermost being. Oh God, move them and bring them back to your own self, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, for the brothers that go in the streets, testify and give tracts out, I pray you'll bless them, be with them, strengthen them, watch over them and protect them from all the wiles of the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Bless your people now. Bless your word to their hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's continue just to seek the Lord tonight.